Hallelujah. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus that as your word has gone forth, you say that you watch over your word, that your word will always produce, for your word is the truth, it is yes and amen, that when your word goes forth, it will never return unto you void. Father, we pray that even now, speak to us. Reveal the power and the authority that you have already entrusted to us, so that we may walk in your power, that we may be carriers of your authority. Speak to us, Lord. Open up your word to us. Let it become a revelation. And this we pray in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. If you have your notebooks with you, your pen, your Bible, it's going to come in handy. If you do not as yet have your Bible, your notebook, your pen, quickly just go and get it, because we're going to delve into the Word of the Lord. I want to teach something this morning, and I want us to stand still on this topic, so important, so fundamental to our walk in faith. The title for today is The Authority of the Believer. The authority of the believer. We know that Christ Jesus carries authority. But what we will discover this morning is that he has released that authority to each and every one of us as his sons and daughters. Many Christians are, however, oblivious to the power and the authority that is available to them, which is why many would live mediocre, average lives. But we have not been called to be average or ordinary. We have been called to live a supernatural life and to naturally operate in the supernatural. We're also going to be praying for you that the power of God and the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ will come, that you will be activated to walk in both his power and authority. So now that you have your Bible, your notebook, your pen, let's go to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, verse 32, and then also verse 36. And I'm going to read from the New King James Version. It says in verse 32, "And they were astonished at his teaching, for his word was with authority." Verse 36, "They were all amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, what word is this?" In other words, they were saying, what kind of language is this? It does not sound like that which we are used to. There's something different. What a word this is. "For with authority and power, he commands the unclean spirits, and they come." Now, many times we use these two words, power and authority, interchangeably. Now, these two words, although there are many similarities, it's also distinctly different. There are many times in our English Bible where the words are translated as power, but when you consider the original Greek, that which the New Testament was written in, you find that it was actually two separate words. A lot of times, that which is translated in our English Bibles, power, should actually be the word authority, since that is the word that was used in the Greek. So Jesus operated, he walked in both power and authority. Authority and power. It's not to say that you can have the one then without the other. As we will discover this morning, that you can have power, but not authority. But you will have authority and also, by extension, power. During Jesus' earthly ministry, he modeled the kingdom. There's more than 120 scriptures, verses in the Gospels alone referencing the kingdom. The Bible calls Jesus the King of Kings. And as we said at the onset of this broadcast, Jesus is the King. Where there's a King, there is a kingdom. Where there's a kingdom, there has to be a King. Jesus is the King of Kings. In other words, He is the one who is exalted above all other kings. The King of Kings. Ancient kings conquered through power, but they ruled through authority. Ancient kings conquered through power. They conquered other cities, other regions, other territories through power. But they rule through authority. In essence, that's the difference between the two. Jesus is also referred to as the Good Shepherd. Jesus goes by various different titles. Pastor Ron also referenced earlier this morning that He was the lamb that was slain. But He is also the Good Shepherd. Psalm 23 paints a picture for us of a Good Shepherd saying that His rod and His staff, they comfort me. Both His rod and His staff. The rod is a symbol of power. The rod is a symbol of power. It is an instrument that is used by these shepherds to beat off lions and wolves and bears. It is something that is utilized in an aggressive action towards these wild beasts to protect the flock, the sheep belonging to the shepherd. The shepherd does not only have a rod, he also has a staff. Whereas the rod is a symbol of the shepherd's power, the staff is a symbol of his authority. The staff is used by shepherds to steady their walk on a rocky road. The staff is something that they can lean on in time of need. The good shepherd also possesses then both power and authority. In the Greek, these two words is dunamis and exousia. Dunamis, exousia. Dunamis is speaking of power, while exousia speaks of authority. In the Greek, the word dunamis speaks of the explosive power of God released to change the physical reality. The dunamis power of God, which is a supernatural power, speaks of the explosive power of God. Dunamis is where we get the word dynamite from. Dynamite having the ability to erupt and explode in a majestic way. It's the explosive power of God released to change our physical reality. While exousia is the power of rule of government that demands submission. It is the power of rule of government that demands submission. Practically, power then is what produces miracles and healings. It was the power that caused the multiplication of the bread and the fish, allowing Jesus to feed the multitudes. That was a release of His power. His authority is what He carries, causing demons to begin to squirm the moment He walks into their vicinity. That is authority. But listen to this, you can write this down. Power affects the visible realm, but authority affects both the visible and the invisible realm. Power affects the visible realm, that which you see. While authority affects both the physical and the invisible realm. In Mark chapter 5, verse 2 to 7, I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation. Listen to this. Speaks of this man by the name of Legion, possessed by a legion of demons. A legion back then, if you consider the Roman army, a legion would be about 6,000 soldiers. 6,000. Here's this one man by the name of Legion because he was possessed by a legion of demons. Verse 2. When Jesus climbed out of the boat, a man possessed by an evil spirit came out from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the burial caves and could no longer be restrained, even with a chain. Whenever he was put into chains and shackles, as he often was. So here's someone who was often shackled and chained. But then he would snap the chains from his wrists and smash the shackles. No one was strong enough to subdue him. In other words, the Bible reveals in these verses that here is a man who not only possesses immense physical strength. One might say that quite possibly because he is possessed by a legion of demons, his power is even from a supernatural source. There is no denying that this is a powerful human being. Every time chains and shackles are put upon him, he simply snaps all of them off. So he has power. There's no denying. He has immense power. But listen to this. Verse 6. When Jesus was still some distance away, the man saw him. He ran to meet him. And he bowed low before him. The only one you would bow to is what you submit to. Bowing is a sign of submission and respect. Here is this strong man possessed by a legion of demons. No one could exercise any authority or even power over him. Yet he runs to Jesus. And when he comes face to face with him, he bows down. He not only bows, he bows down low before him. He is the King of Kings. And he carries the ultimate supreme authority. He bowed down low before him. Listen to this. With a shriek, he screamed, "Why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" He identified Jesus as the Son of God. He knew who he was, and as a result, he understood the authority that he carried. He did not bow to his power. He bowed to his authority. Authority will always be greater than power. Even if you are a powerful individual in your city or then even your country, you will still have to submit to the authority in the land. You could be powerful. You could even be the president of your own country. And we know that in a democratic country, even the president is not above the law, but under authority. "Why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In the name of God, I beg you, don't torture me." Shackles and chains and quite possibly even whips that they used against him, he had no regard for. People tried to match his power, to overcome him with power, but could never subdue him.
But it was when Jesus just stood in front of him, didn't even say anything. Here is this powerful individual begging Jesus that he would not judge him, that he would not interfere with him. Jesus did not even have to lift his hand. He did not have to shout. He did not have to declare. He did not have to decree. He did not have to raise his hands to heaven. He didn't have to point his finger at this demon. For he carried the authority, and that was enough. That was all that was needed. He recognized and then he submit to Jesus' authority. Think about this, a traffic official, a traffic officer, in the natural experiences, the very same thing. This traffic officer puts on his uniform, puts on his badge. Both the uniform and the badge is a sign, a symbol of his authority. This traffic officer then clothed with his uniform and his badge can step into the highway in front of a speeding truck, put out his hand. Although that truck has got great power, the truck has the ability to totally crush this traffic officer. But this truck driver, although he is in a vehicle that is far more powerful than a human hand, this truck driver recognizes the authority and has no choice but to put his foot down on the brakes, pull off to the side of the road, and submit to the authority.